Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and today on The Strang Report, my guest is Floyd Brown. He's the founder and owner of The Western Journal, one of the leading online news sources, and he recently wrote a book, which I had the privilege of publishing, called Counterpunch. And today we talk about the elites in Washington. We talk about the headlines that are happening so fast it almost makes your head spin. He has a lot of perspective, not only as a journalist, but also in politics. He used to work for Ronald Reagan. He was very high up on the campaign for Senator Doyle when he ran in 96. He talks about that. He also talks about what's happening with the elites in the Democratic Party and how his book give some answers. In fact, on the back of the book, it says, "Is it possible for renewal to come through peaceful pushback rather than powerful elites?" You don't want to miss my conversation with Floyd Brown. Stay tuned. Floyd Brown, we're living in some historic times. I mean, just consider what's happened in the last couple of weeks. The failed assassination attempt on our former president, President Biden dropping out of the race, Kamala Harris getting all the delegates, or at least appearing to. Tell me what's going on. What do you think's going on from your perspective as the founder of Western Journal?
Well, Steve, I've been in the news business 40 years, and I've never experienced a two-month period like we've experienced this summer of this election year, 2024. It's absolutely unprecedented. And I think it's because the stakes are so high and everyone understands that America hangs by a thread, and it's this election which is going to decide it all. Do we go the way of countries like Venezuela? Or do we reclaim the foundations of America? Do we reclaim our godly heritage? Do we reclaim our destiny as the protector of Israel? And so everything, absolutely everything is on the line. And so, yes, you're right. I just returned from the Republican National Convention where I was able to see the new vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, and also had an opportunity to see President Trump after he had been shot and they had tried to assassinate him and kill him in Butler, Pennsylvania. And, my only conclusion is that it was an absolute miracle that Jesus reached down from heaven and in a supernatural act either controlled the head of Donald Trump to move or set the bullet to the wind, whatever it was that Jesus did. It's so clearly a miracle. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important, because all of America for at least 48 hours was focused on and transfixed by that miracle, and everybody agreed it was an absolute miracle. So, you know, we've kind of since that time, we had the Republican convention, and then of course, Joe Biden was pushed out of the race. We now are learning that it was really he had to leave, or they were going to remove him based on the 25th Amendment, and that in essence, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, and Schumer, the leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and Kamala Harris all got together and basically said to the Biden family, "You're going to leave this race, or we're going to remove you as president." And so he chose to stay as president and not have that stain of history of being removed by the 25th Amendment and drop out of the race. But he was essentially extorted out of the race, which in my mind is a crime in and of itself. But
what you describe, Floyd, is really a coup. Now, we don't think of coups in our country because of our democratic republic, but in many countries in the world, they've removed leaders with a coup, and they removed a sitting president from office, at least in the second term, you know, if he doesn't have the chance to serve a second term. And the irony to me, and I want to know what you think about this, is that the Democrats are the ones who say that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. Yet here we have a coup, and Biden, if I remember correctly, got 14 million votes in the primaries, where individual people went to the ballot box and voted for him to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. And to me, this seems like backroom politics. You know, we think the old expression, smoke-filled rooms. What do you think?
Oh, all of that. And in fact, you know, my first book was about Bill Clinton. It was called Slick Willie, Why America Cannot Trust Bill Clinton. And I wrote it many years ago, way back in the 90s. And interestingly, I had a saying back then when I was talking about my book is basically, listen carefully to whatever Bill Clinton is saying, and it's the opposite. And it actually really held true throughout his entire administration. If you listened carefully to what he was saying, he was doing the opposite. And that's exactly what we've been seeing in this campaign. The whole premise of their campaign has been, quote, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. And the reason they say that is because of, obviously, the riot that took place on January 6th. But what they don't tell you is that Donald Trump, right after that, left Washington, D.C. He didn't try to claim the presidency or hold on to the presidency after the Congress had certified a winner. And so he was never a threat to democracy. But they are, in fact, the threat to democracy. And you see that through exactly what you just described that they did in the Democratic Party. Here you have Joe Biden, who ran in the primaries. And by the way, it's important for people to understand that Robert Kennedy Jr. wanted to run as a Democrat. And in fact, when he first launched his campaign, he launched it as a Democrat running for the nomination to be president in the Democratic Party. But they used such unbelievable anti-democratic tools against him, Steve, they forced him to run as an independent because he couldn't get a fair shake inside the so-called democracy of the Democratic Party. And that's why he left and exited the building and started to run as an independent. But then they held this primary process, and Joe Biden won these huge numbers of delegates in primary after primary. And now essentially all of those votes are being invalidated. So in essence, the democratic process worked. The people chose Joe Biden through their primaries and their caucus process, and yet the party elites and the elites in Washington, D.C. have said, no, we don't care about your votes. We don't care about process. We only care about winning and controlling power, which is really what they're always focused on. And so they just literally extorted him and got him to drop out. And I'm not convinced that Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee. I know that allegedly she has all these delegates and her campaign has launched and she's been in the driver's seat for the last week and a half. But mark my words, the minute her poll numbers start to falter against Donald Trump, they're going to be looking for somebody else because the modus operandi of these elites, these globalist elites that control the Democrat Party, is they can't afford to not be in power. Because as I explain in my book, Counterpunch, in great detail, and let me just say thank you again to Charisma for publishing my book, because I think it's a very important book, and I think every American needs to read it. What I explain in great detail is that their system doesn't work without controlling government because they use it as a funnel to keep all of their various groups happy. For example, the military-industrial complex, which I go into great detail as to why, in my entire lifetime, a war has not been won by the United States of America. Because once the military-industrial complex got started, Steve, the purpose wasn't winning wars anymore. It was expending the maximum amount of money to generate the maximum amount of profits for the maximum amount of elites that are benefiting from that military-industrial complex. Same with Big Pharma. I go into great detail how they have to control the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration. They have to control the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and these other agencies, because they literally mint money for the elites of the party through their various policies. And so the book Counterpunch, it isn't just about this election. It's really about understanding the way our country has been run over the last 50 years. And that's why it's so important and significant that people read it. And
I want to pivot and talk about the book. That's really why we did this podcast. But if I may, I want to make two short comments. I agree with you that Kamala Harris may not be the one. It may have been a Western Journal, since I read your site every single day, but somebody was speculating that they may go to her, get her to drop out in exchange for getting the 25th Amendment to remove Biden, so that for a few months, she is technically the first woman president, and she may just want to go down in the history books. And who knows if that'll happen, but there are powerful forces. And it's not just the Democratic Party. It's in what we call the deep state. And I will agree with one thing they're saying, that Donald Trump is a threat, but it's not to democracy. It's to the deep state, and it's toward wokeness, because the Democratic Party is becoming more and more woke, more and more socialistic, and Donald Trump wants to change that. I think the Democrats say that he's a threat to democracy, but they're defining democracy in their woke, leftist, controlling kind of way. And Donald Trump is a threat to that. But they use democracy very, very differently than you and I do. So let's talk about your book, because your book is almost like a playbook of how we can take back the country. How can we encourage just average people to get the book, to implement it, and also to get this in the hands of some of the party elites who could use some of the principles that you are so articulate in sharing, that would help not only the top of the ticket, but actually all the way down the ticket to local school boards and city councils?
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote this book essentially for Christians that want to become involved in the whole public policy process. And I start from a position of stewardship. As a citizen, we have a stewardship responsibility as Christians in order to exercise our vote, and to do it in such a way that we bring honor to Jesus Christ. And the truth is that, you know, I like to say, when I gave my life to Jesus, Steve, I didn't just give him Sunday. I didn't just give him the day of rest. I gave him Monday through Saturday, but I gave him lordship over every aspect of my life. That means he's the Lord over my job. He's the Lord over my family. He's the Lord over the relationship I have with my wife. He's the Lord over all. And as Christians, that means he's the Lord over our citizenship duties. And I go into great detail what every Christian can do in order to be a good steward of those. And, you know, I talk about the local level, because it really starts with getting to know your neighbors. I know that sounds super basic, but there's a reason that they put the entire country on house arrest during COVID, Steve. And there's a reason why they shut down churches and they shut down Kiwanis groups and Lions groups and Rotary clubs. And the reason is because disconnected outside of unity with others, we're weak and we're easy to pick off and we're full of fear. But the way God made us is he made us to be in community with others. He made us to be in families. He made us to be, connected with the people in our communities. And so I encourage everybody, the first thing they need to get to do is walk out their front door, turn to the right or the left, and get to know their neighbors. And that's really a wonderful thing. If you want to see, the country go in a certain direction, you have big influence in your neighborhood with your neighbors and, share with them, not in an overbearing or dogmatic way, but just share with them as you would want to be shared with. And I guarantee you, you're going to find reception, but you're also going to have a positive impact on the country. And, maybe you're going to find that they're open to the gospel. I believe America is more open to the gospel today because of all of these political issues. People feel disconnected. They feel, I like to use the word discombobulated. Yeah, I know, I think it's a made up word, but they don't know how to put order to their life. And really, Jesus is the only one that can fill that void. And Jesus is the only one that can right the ship. And they're more open to Jesus today than they've ever been. People want Jesus. People need Jesus. And you're the perfect person to share it with them because you're their next door neighbor. And then I talk about going beyond your neighborhood, getting involved in your city, getting involved in your county, maybe getting involved in a state legislative race that will decide who's going to be running your local state. And then maybe even get involved in the Donald Trump campaign. But there are many, many opportunities for Christians to have a positive impact in their communities. And shame on anyone that says we shouldn't be out there loving our neighbors.
I agree with you entirely. And we only have a few more minutes. I want to know if you could explain to us in a few words, because I want people to go out and buy your book. What is the basic premise of the book? What is unique about your book that aren't in a lot of other books where people have tried to get citizens involved in government in a godly kind of way?
Yeah, well, frankly, I think at the core of my book is the message of Jesus, which is love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your community as you love yourself, love your city as you love yourself, love your state as you love yourself. That's at the core of what I talk about. It's kind of underlying everything. But what I also do is, I bring the 40 years of political experience I have, having worked for Ronald Reagan and having worked for Bob Dole and having worked on Capitol Hill and in countless political races. I bring the practical knowledge that I have from that and from my years in journalism to help create kind of a synthesis to give you the tools you need in order to be successful. And so that was my real goal. I really just poured everything I had in me into this book. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to write this book and wanted me to write it for Christians so that they could understand how important it is that they claim their stewardship as citizens of the United States and live out their walk with Christ in front of their neighbors and community.
So well said. And we've got to wrap this up. So I want to give you the last word and then I'll be back with a closing thought.
Well, the last word I have is we serve a God that is in charge. And, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but he promises us one thing, and that is to not fear and to trust him. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I encourage everyone to do is just grab onto Jesus. As you get closer to him, He is going to share with you exactly what he wants you to do to live out your life for him.
Thank you for staying tuned. I wanted to say something about Counterpunch. I believe this is a very important book. It's a fairly thick book, but it'll tell people how they can, as Christians, get involved in the system and we can take it back. Floyd and I talked about some of the serious things that are happening in America, and we need to have tools to help us. A lot of Christians feel powerless. They aren't involved because they think they're not willing to do the dirty things that they associate with politics. But this is a peaceful way. As I said at the top of the program, is it possible for renewal to come through peaceful pushback rather than powerful elites? You need to pick up the copy. Probably the easiest way is on Amazon.com, but you can also go to my website, which is called MyCharismaShop.com, and pick up a copy of Counterpunch by Floyd Brown. Share this video with other people. Share the link on social media. Let's get out the word. And if you agree with these kind of podcasts, be sure to subscribe to The Strang Report and click the little bell so you're notified every time we're on Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Until next time, God bless you.